John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 21. Stinking thinking.
Amen.
Most people that we meet on a day-to-day basis, they live a life trying to get big. Not referring to big as in weight. I'm referring to big as in they're looking for a platform. They're looking for a position. They're looking for somebody to know who they are, social status. And everything that they do is to advance their little career. The Bible declares that your gift will make room for you.
Yes.
You don't have to tell anybody what you're able to do. All you got to do is just do you.
That's right.
If you do you, and you doing who God called you to be, God will open up the door.
And he has.
He doesn't need your help. He's able to do it all by himself. The issue is not whether or not God is able. The issue is our thinking is wrong. Is that our thinking stinks. And so what God is doing and what God is saying to us is that I know you. I put the thought in your mind. I know where I'm taking you to. All I need for you to do is relax. So we try to move, try to help God, get ahead of God, and then what we end up doing is we miss the big picture. See, you can miss the big picture by hanging out with little people. You can miss it because you're hanging around the wrong people. So a big opportunity comes your way and everything is set. The opportunity is there, but you'll miss the opportunity because the people that you're dealing with is all down here. Have you ever been in a fight with someone and you were ready to fight because you said, if I ever catch that person, I'm going to tell them a piece of my mind, I'm going to say this, and if I ever see them, I'm going to do this and do that. And then you saw the person and you said, you ain't even worth the conversation.
Right.
I mean, I spent the last 3 days thinking about what I was going to say. And then the moment that you see the person, you just, not even worth it. Not even worth it. See, because sometimes we focus on things, and when we begin to focus on things, we make it a big thing. And so you can miss your big opportunities in life by hanging out with little people. Here you are up here having an educated and a spiritual conversation, and they all down here on your knees talking about stuff that don't even matter, and they pulling you away from what God is calling you to. Forget about them, but seek ye first the kingdom. God, what are you saying to me? I don't have time to deal with these little folks and their little thinking. That doesn't even matter. And so you have to learn to make sure that you're focusing on what God is calling you to do. Now notice this story is about Thomas. Thomas is one of the 12 disciples. He has the platform. Jesus is about to die. All he has to do is relax for a couple of more days, a couple more weeks, and Jesus is gone. He's one of the 12 disciples. He become an apostle. He chill out, and then all the big ideas that he have, he's now empowered through the Holy Spirit to pull it off, but he has a doubt issue. Doubt shows up. Doubt looks like criticism. Ever find somebody that always criticizing you? It's because they doubt themselves. See, if I know who I am, I don't have to criticize you, because the truth of the matter is I don't care about you. I'm trying to do my own thing. But if you ever find someone, they always have an opinion about you, about this and about that. It doesn't matter. See, what Thomas had to do was just relax. But Thomas found himself one day perhaps out of place. And so here Jesus is talking to the disciples. And the Bible says, now, here he goes. He's talking to them again. See, sometimes when you say something and do something the first time, it really doesn't penetrate. And so you have to do it again and again and again. So Thomas, one of the twins, Thomas shows up and he says, I won't believe that Jesus is resurrected unless I see him, unless I touch it, unless I put my finger in it, all for myself. I gotta do this for myself. Now listen, if
Thomas had to be convinced that Jesus is who Jesus is. Now, don't expect everybody in your life to see and believe the Jesus in you.
Right.
But because you didn't call me,
that's right.
God did.
Yes,
I don't care if you don't see it.
Right.
What I'm concerned about is the fruits that I'm producing.
Yes.
You can see that. You may not know what's in my heart, but every time you see me, God has his hands on me and he's opened a door. You can see that. Stop trying to prove to people what you are about. Stop trying to convince people that you this thing. No! You don't have time to convince anybody of that. You just do you.
Do you.
Thomas comes. Thomas says, I got to see it. I got to put my hands in it. I got to do all of this stuff in order for me to believe. See, Thomas is missing the big picture. And the big picture in life sometimes is God is using you to minister to someone else. I know you think everything that happened in your life is about you. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Some things that happen in your life has nothing to do with you. You said, God, have your way with me. And he says, okay, I want my way to be like this. And quite often his way involved pain. Quite often his way involved embarrassment. Quite often his way involved you being broke. Am I talking to anybody? Quite often his way is an uncomfortable way. Quite often his way is hell. But if it's his way, he's going to see you all the way through.
Yes, he will.
You better believe. You better believe. If God gives you a vision, he's going to pay for it. He's going to give you provision. If God says go, you better believe. It may be dark. You may be on the backside of the mountain, unable to see. But you better believe that God is going to accomplish something in and through you. So it's a question of faith.
Yes.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, Thomas wants to see it in order to believe it.
Uh-huh.
Point one tonight is this, inspiration. Notice what Jesus did, and that is when Jesus got to the disciples, the Bible says that he breathed on them.
Mm-hmm.
You get that?
Uh-huh.
One other time that God breathed on anyone. God breathed on Adam. When he breathed on Adam, that same breath that Adam enjoyed is the same breath that we have.
Right.
Now let me prove to you that you're bipolar tonight. Because when he breathed that time, it was a natural breath. Now the Bible declares that Jesus breathed upon his disciple, which is a supernatural. So the natural was to give you life. The supernatural was to give you the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that's your power. The Holy Ghost is to empower you to pull off the plan of God. And so now that I'm empowered to do something, it's not about my natural talent, it's about where I am in the spirit. And because I flow and I function in the spirit, now my gift begins to make room for it. Not your talent.
That's right.
Your gift. What God gave you, it makes room for you. And so because your gift begins to make room for you, because God is now breathed on you, when God gives you life, no one can stop you.
That's right.
You don't hear me. No one can stop you. I don't care if the bills is past due and it's raining through the roof and everything, but can't nobody stop you. Now, that doesn't mean that every day is going to be sugar spice, but can't nobody stop you. At the close of the day, if you stay with God and you abide in him, because he's going to abide in you at the close of the day, can't nobody stop you. Now, you may have delays along the way, but can't nobody stop you. You may lose some friends along the way, but can't nobody stop you. You may be embarrassed along the way, but can't nobody stop you, because God has inspiration. He breathed upon you.
Yes.
So what God is saying is, let me give you my life. Let me give you my power. And see, whenever God begins to give you his power, always expect Satan to show up to the dance. If your life is a life where everything is going all right, please get and stay away from me. Because the only reason or only way that your life can be A-okay all the time is that Satan got you and you are just connected to him. He didn't have no reason to mess with you. So he let you smoke weed and drink and he let you do everything and he never convict you. Because he only the Holy Spirit can convict you. So if you live in a life and you just fine and everything is great, you need to know you on your way to hell.
Right. I got
we can pay. You need to know that.
Yes.
See, if everything is always going okay, and you have no resistance in life, that's confirmation that you have no God in your life. So God says, Jesus says, he breathed on them. He gave them point number one, inspiration. Once he breathed on them, point number two is illumination. Now, illumination is to shine the light on something. Notice that when Thomas comes, because he came, which is to imply that he was not there. And so here he comes showing up because he wasn't there the first time. Listen to me. Be careful, Mr. May, of the people that show up in your life late. Those that weren't there when you were struggling, trying to make some payments. Be careful about the folk that show up late in your life. And notice that most of the time when they show up in your life late, they're always trying to move something that is already established. When God called me, he established something. And so here comes Johnny come lately. You showing up 3 months after everything is going well. You showing up 20 years after the child is already grown. Now, here you come. When people show up in your life late and try to rearrange things in your life. You know, when they come in your life, they always feel like something needs to change in your life as though they have the answers with them. If the answer that you think you have is so great, let me see it work in your life. See, man, I can't tell you how to buy a house and a car and how to do this while I'm living under the bridge. Don't you listen to me. I'm the wrong person, but God told me to tell you. No, no, no. Don't you go for that one. And so what you need to see is the fruit in somebody else's life. Then say, maybe I can line up with what God is doing in your life. And see, in order for you to see it, it's never about the talent of a person. It's always about the prayer life of a person. You can't copy that. You can't even adopt that. You gotta have your own personal time, your own prayer life with God. When you develop your own prayer life and time with God, then God shows up in your life and now God can trust you with his anointing, trust you with his will, because now there's an illumination. He can shine light on you. But God can't shine light on you when everybody else looking at you and you walking in darkness. Somewhere along the way, what you say and what you do, it needs to line up. Don't get it twisted. I didn't say it needs to be perfected or sinless, but you do need to be walking in that way. You ever tried to follow something, a light at night, and your eyes is on the light, and you may sometimes have to go this way to avoid something or go over here to step around something, but you still seeking ye first that light. And God is saying, if you come after me, I'll order your steps and I'll show you how to step around cancer. I'll show you how to step around the naysayers. I'll show you how to step around those that say you can't do it, but just follow after me. See, the illumination in our lives is our North Star. That's the thing that is guiding us. And so what God or Jesus is trying to show through Thomas is that, listen, you should have been in place, then you wouldn't need proof.
Yes, right.
You want proof as to how I'm living. I can't prove it to you.
That's right.
If I can prove it to you, it cancels out my faith.
That's right.
So listen to this. Faith. That's the you believe it.
Uh-huh.
Faith can never be explained. Mm. It must be followed.
That's yeah. right.
If someone can explain to you their faith, and you can get their faith, it's not faith.
Right.
It's witchcraft.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's what that is. See, because when you really have faith, not only can you not explain it, you can't see it yourself. God, I don't know where I am. I don't know why you sent me yes. here, but I'm trusting you. I'm standing on your word. God, if you move, I'm through. But I know you said you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. God, everybody else walked out. They say this is crazy. But what you said to me is that you'll supply all of my needs. I'm standing on your word. Now, I don't have anything else. They foreclosed on the house, repossessed the car, and I'm unemployed. One thing you can't take from me. That is what I believe in God. So, God, I'm going to stand on your word because I know your word never fails. I'm going to stand on your word because I know your word never returns for it. I'm going to stand on your word because I know that there is life in your word. I'm going to stand.
So he moves from inspiration where he breathed to illumination to where he shed light because he wasn't there. Point number three, to illustration. Illustration.
So here comes Thomas, and Thomas says, well, you got to show me this. Don't you hate it when folks show up in your life and say, well, let me see how it happened for you. They want an illustration of how you got out of debt. I can tell you how I got out of debt. I gave God a tenth, and I gave everything else unto good purpose. I can tell you how I came through. When you were somewhere talking on the phone, I was on bending knees talking to God. Through. When the doctor said I had cancer, I began to talk to Jesus and say, you said by your stripes, I'm healed. I can tell you how I was delivered from something because when I was stuck in something, I looked for him and he bled the blood of the Lamb upon my life. I can tell you how I came through.
Yes, yes.
Those are the illustrations that we need to show. Not what I did, but let me show you what God did.
Yes.
Let me show you when I was down and out. Didn't have a friend in the world. Didn't have two quarters in the world. But somehow he made a way out of no way. I'm talking to somebody. Let me tell you what God did. When I was stressed on my job. Didn't know a promotion was going to come. Didn't know how I was going to make it. But somehow God showed up. Won't God show up in your situation? Won't he kick open the door for you? Won't he make ways out of no way? Won't God deliver you? Sometimes in the process of going through something, you wonder, God, where are you? Because you can't hear it and you can't see it. And he says, I'm right here, baby. I'll never leave you. I'm right here. But God, if you only knew how I felt, I'm scared right now. And he says, but I got you. God, everybody stepped out. And he says, but I got you. God, everybody is leaving me. But he says, I'm right there. I got you. Just call and tell him what you want. Somebody says, Jesus is on the main line. Call him up. Just tell him what you want. You need healing? Tell him all about it. No, no, don't tell your friend. Tell God. Tell somebody that can do something about it. You don't need the opinion of somebody else. Tell God. Tell somebody who can fix that situation. I don't need to know what you think. Tell God. He'll move in your situation.
Illumination. Watch this in closing.
Yes.
He goes from inspiration to illumination to illustration.
And in closing, we didn't read this, but when you get home, read all the way down to verse number 31.
Uh-huh.
At the end of verse number 31, he says about Thomas, he says, Thomas, everything that I've done, he says, I've done it in his name.
Uh-huh. In his name.
Uh-huh. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you scandalize my name. I'm not doing this on my name. I'm doing it in his name. And so if I'm doing it in his name, I need for you to understand this last point. FYI, for your information. If you want to know how I'm doing it, I'm doing it in his name. For your information. If you want to know how he's delivered me, it's because I'm trusting in him. FYI.
I believe in him. That's how I'm doing it. So don't ask my neighbor. Don't go talking to somebody else about me. If you want to know about me, come ask me. I can tell you what God is doing in my life. That you got your own testimony, but I got mine. See, I know that what I was going through was just a test so that I can have a testimony. And you can't tell my testimony the way that I can tell mine, and I can't tell yours. So we all have to go through something. But I say go through something because yea, though you walk through
the valley,
I'm coming out of this thing. You need to talk to somebody tonight. Talk to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming out of this thing. I know it looks bad tonight, but I'm coming out of this thing. I may be afraid tonight, but I'm coming out of this thing. I may be nervous about the situation, but I'm coming out of this thing. I know it don't feel good, don't look good, but I'm coming out of this thing. And how am I going to do it? In his name. The name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the name of Jesus, everything must surrender to him. And so when I begin to call on his name, then I can feel yokes being broken. When I can call upon his name, old stuff I used to like, I don't like it no more. When I can call upon his name, I feel a deliverance. When I can call upon his name, oh, I feel the power of God in this place tonight, because I know I can call upon his name. You may be tired, but I can call upon his name. Your line may be busy, but I can call upon his name. When I call upon the name of Jesus, he shows up. He shows up. All we have to do is just erase our stinking thinking. Oh, it'll never happen for me. Oh, it'll never change in my life. And God is saying, if that's your prayer, I'll even answer that one too. See, when you begin to declare something, release something in the atmosphere.
Yes, Lord. He said, if you decree a thing,
that's your prayer.
That's right.
Yes.
Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say.
Yes.
I'm not talking about what they say about you.
Yes.
Be careful what you say.
Yes.
Because what you say, you have ownership of what
that's
you
right.
say.
That's right.
Now don't try to line your life up with the reality. Because when you start adding, see, it's something about the love of God. God doesn't add very well. Because he'll take your little $2,000 a month income. And he'll make it meet your $3,000 a month debt. And I'm talking about he doesn't ask very well. Something about God that he may start off adding, but somehow he needs to exit, or he needs to multiply by the grace, and he needs to multiply by his love. And something about God where God would take stuff that on paper don't make sense.
And when he gets through turning that thing around, when he gets through working that thing in your life, when he gets through just making believers out of the naysayers, when he finished with that thing, and here you are, they thought that you were dead, thought that you were through, and you come stepping out there with a shekinah of glory on you, and they said, why are you shining? Why are you smiling? Because you said, I've been in the presence of God. Yeah, you may know where I've been, but you don't know where I'm going. And yeah, you may know where I've been, but you don't know my story. Yeah, you may be able to look at me, but you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know what God told me in the midnight hour, and you don't know when I was crying on that pillow. Nobody but me. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know.
You want that? Hallelujah.
What the Lord has done for me. Come on and stand tonight in the presence of the Lord. I just want you to stand tonight, and I want you to just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. God, I surrender to you right now. God, erase my stinking thinking tonight. God, help me to see things, Lord, the way that you see them, Lord. Help me to decree and declare, Lord, the way that you want me to speak it, Lord. Father God, just take me to the next level. I got to lay aside some stuff. I got to lay aside the sins, Lord. It's the weights, and it's just easily, Lord. Just distract me, Lord. God, just stop people walking in my life and just taking my vision away from you. God, I need to see you tonight.
Thank you.
I need to see you tonight. 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 The Bible declares that it was on the eighth day. It was on the eighth day. When you get home, you read this thing. The Bible declares it was on the eighth day. God says, I know what you've been through. I know your struggles. He says, can I make it new? Can I make it new? Can I make it new? Whatever God does for a reason. It was on the eighth day. Man will look at you and say, you fell short. You doubted. You feared. God says, I'm going to make that thing new. I'm going to make it new. God, we need you to touch a body in here tonight. Make it new. We need you to touch Lord finances tonight. Make it new. God, we need you to touch a child tonight. Make it new. God, we need you to touch a mind tonight. Make it new. We need you to touch a business tonight. Make it new. We need you to touch promotion tonight. Make it new. God, just touch tonight, Lord. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord. Create in me, Lord, a new thing. Just create a new thing. The old me, Lord.
You will do a new thing.
Set it aside. Here I am. Here I am. Cast all my cares upon you. Because I know that you love me. So Father God, we touch and agree tonight in the spirit. We ask Lord that you open doors and open minds. We love you and we trust you. And if you receive that, come on and give the Lord some praise tonight. Come on and give him some praise.